The scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 22, and our version is from the New International Version. It's a section called Correcting an Abuse of the Lord's Supper. In the following directives, I have no praise for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Wow, the text that Jim read sounds like this letter from Paul was giving the church in the Corinth a real dressing down. The unity of the church was being threatened as he was pointing out the unacceptable behavior which had crept into the church in his absence. It sounds like a sermon in the form of a letter, which was probably one of that kind that makes us squirm a bit. Things are not right there, and you must change the way you are doing things. I doubt that people back then liked being reprimanded any more than we do today. Plus, they had the disadvantage of receiving Paul's opinion in a letter, which he wrote sometime prior to that. They had to imagine his tone of voice and his body language. And they couldn't respond immediately. They couldn't get on the phone or text or give their side of the situation. I bet they had a lively congregational meeting upon reading that letter. In spite of all the social media that we have today and how addicted we are to being in touch all the time, the world then, in some ways, had its advantages. Communication was more personal with people meeting face to face. And except for that rare letter, that was usually the only option. It's easier to perceive emotions when we are standing within touching distance of one another. It's not hard to recognize anger when our voices are raised and our faces become beet red. A gentle hand on the shoulder and a sparkle in the eye, a smile, maybe a chuckle or a hug, they all give the message of friendship. One of my granddaughters recently told me that the only option she had to communicate with a friend was to text and wait for a response. I asked her why she couldn't call her on the phone. And her answer was, well, her mom might answer. And I responded, da, so? Perhaps some of you young people can explain to me how her response made any sense. And let me tell you, I have given in to texting, and I admit that there are some advantages. The early church had a custom of sharing an agape meal. It was a love feast whenever they met. Christians came bringing whatever they had, whatever they could contribute. All the food was put out, and they sat down to a common meal. Kind of sounds like our typical potluck dinner, doesn't it? There was a big difference, however. They always shared in the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. That was always part of their fellowship, and it was an important part. And they met together at least every week. As we see from Paul's words, things had gone sadly wrong with this loved feast. In the church were the rich and the poor. There were those who could bring plenty, and there were those who had next to nothing to share. For some, it may have been the only full meal they had all week. From Paul's description of the situation at Corinth, it appears that the congregation had become broken along socioeconomic lines. Rather than serving as a means of bringing together the haves and the have-nots into a community linked to a common purpose, the Lord's Supper had become an occasion for accentuating social differences within the church. They no longer shared with all, but they ate in little exclusive groups. The Lord's Supper, which was instituted by Jesus, was no longer the highlight of the meal. The fellowship meal had become a time when some ate and drank excessively while others went home hungry. There was little sharing and caring. This certainly did not demonstrate the unity and love that should characterize the church. The church, which is the body of Christ. It may be that the different groups were composed of those who had differing opinions, and perhaps they had different interests. We all tend to be most comfortable with those whom we know and who share our interest and our views. It is more comfortable to gravitate toward like-minded people. We become friends, and that feels good. We get into habits and ways of doing things that feel good. That's really not all bad. Look at where most of us sit on a given Sunday morning. It's pretty predictable, isn't it? I can look out and say, oh, she's here. I wonder where. Oh, they're here. Have you ever visited a church and upon taking a seat were told that you were in someone else's seat? Has anybody had that? Raise your hand. Some of you have. How did you react? Got up and moved. Did as you were told, huh? That's actually rather common. Many of us have had that experience. I've had that experience. And I got up and moved. Surely that would never happen in this sanctuary. Yeah. Have you ever asked yourself why you come to church every Sunday? And if you don't come every Sunday, have you asked yourself, why don't I? That connection of being a part of a group, it comes to mind immediately. The feeling that we're with a group of friendly people, it's a fellowship we share, that we belong. We certainly can't expect to know everyone perfectly well, equally well. Although we may sit close together in the same pew week in and week out, we may know very little about those familiar faces. We might or might not have much in common, but together in worship, we are connected, loving and honoring the same God. We are in the midst of summer, and many of us enjoy lighting up the charcoal grill for a cookout with family and friends. We know that when we light the charcoal, it does best when we initially place all the charcoal close together, maybe in a little pile, with each briquette touching another. Only when it is good and hot and glowing do we spread them out and arrange them carefully. But most are still touching each other. When one of the coals gets off by itself, it doesn't have the advantage of the heat from others. It may even cool down. Alone, it quickly loses its ability to do its job. The coals need each other to effectively grill the food, to work together to do their job, to be a part of the process. The same thing happens to us when we go off by ourselves and are no longer in touch with the strength found in the body of Christ. Our faith may cool. We are not created to go it alone. The well-known missionary doctor of the 20th century, Albert Schweitzer, once said, "In everyone's life, at some time, our inner fire goes out. It then bursts into flame by an encounter with another human being. We should all be thankful for those people who rekindle the inner spirit." Even people who are forced into isolation find strength in the knowledge that other Christians are holding them in prayer. Those Christians who are meeting in countries where they could be punished for their faith, they go to great lengths to meet together in communion with other Christians. Perhaps they have found that the friendship of Christian friends brings them joy and comfort. And when grief comes, grief is eased by the comfort and understanding of friends. Jesus came into the world full of barriers that rigidly separated people from one another. Much hatred existed. There were the free men and the slaves, different races, different languages, the Jews and the Gentiles, the men and the women, the mentally ill, the rich and the poor, the disabled, the sick, all of which kept people apart. When we think about the world into which Jesus was born and the attitudes that existed among people, some of it doesn't sound a whole lot different from the world in which we live. How did Jesus deal with the barriers that he faced? He got himself into trouble by doing his part to break down those barriers. Some of those barriers still exist today. He mingled with all people. He ate in the homes of sinners. He made friends with women. He touched and loved the outcasts, even those with contagious diseases. Those whom others hated and shunned, he approached, he loved. He gave God's love to all people, even the hated Samaritans. These new Christians in Corinth that Paul had written to had to be reminded that there was no place for social and class distinction within Christ's church. The joy of sharing had been forgotten. They had lost sight of the fact that the church is a body of men and women, young and old, united to each other because all are united in Christ. Some of you are aware that I play in a local community band, the Pine Creek Community Band. And now this is the third community band I've been a part of. I've done this for years. And as with most of these volunteer bands, there are no tryouts, and everyone is welcome. All levels of ability are present and welcome. The only requirement is that you have a desire to bring your instrument and a desire to join in. And I have seen that there is strength in that attitude. The more experienced musicians push the band to more difficult music, and the less experienced improve in their ability and enjoyment of their instrument. We don't all appreciate the same music. We're different people with different life experiences and vastly different ages. There are times when I wonder why we have to play a particular new piece. Some seem to get excited about it, but if I had my way, I'd just pitch it. I have to admit, though, that I experience growth when we work on that dreaded piece. And sometimes I even broaden my appreciation for something that I initially would not have chosen. Sometimes it grows on me to the point that I even enjoy it and like it. Through working together, the band as a whole improves, and those in the audience seem to enjoy the concerts. Much the same can be said about the choir and the church. As new people join in, the seasoned members welcome them and help them along. Then, under the leadership of Heidi, we all share in the joy of a variety of music that enhances our worship experience. That same attitude exists in the church as a whole. All are welcome. And as we come together and share, what makes us who we are uniquely and individually, we all grow together in the faith. When we extend hospitality and welcome to others, we are not trying to impress people. We are here to reflect the love of God that lives within us. We are here on earth to be God's people. Jesus reached out to the neediest of people, and he became a friend. We are all at times that needy person, that person who needs someone who will reach out to share the love of God with us, to offer a smile or a hug, or just to listen to us. Do you remember that time when you said to yourself, "I really needed that person today. They took the time to listen and be with me." Somehow the sun shone a bit brighter with God's love that day. Perhaps today or this week, you will meet someone who really needs a friend. Maybe you can extend the love of God and make a difference in that person's life. You will both benefit. As we come together today as a body of Christ, we will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, which Jesus instituted. You all are invited. Jesus says, "Come." Let's stand together and join in the singing of "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee."